Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast, where our slogan is EDH, community, now, and always. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who have supported me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So a huge thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S, Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, and Geek Beardly for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And you can go pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming. That's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. Currently have two different versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look amazing. Definitely check those out. And if you go to my link tree in the episode description, you can use my affiliate link there. Every little bit of support helps the channel, so thank you. And again, that's at inkedgaming.com for your own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat. A couple weeks ago, I had Dan from Moderately Anonymous MTG on to talk about his Kess Dissonant Mage deck. And as part of that discussion, we talked about a certain card called Ad Nauseam. And obviously it's a very important card in the CDH meta, and that really got the brain things in my head thinking, you know, this would be a really good episode to actually talk about in more of a long-form format. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce this episode titled The Good News About Nauz. Anyway, but again, I'm not going to just be talking here by myself about this card. I've got amazing guests on here today, so without further ado, I'd like to introduce and reintroduce Dan from Moderately Anonymous MTG. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Good to be here again. Thank you very much, MJ, for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Again, Dan, could you give the people out there a quick rundown of all the stuff you do over at Mod Anon MTG?
Oh, I would love to. Hello, everyone. My name is Dan, Moderately Anonymous MTG, he, they. You can find me at Moderately Anonymous MTG on all of the platforms. Specifically, you can find me on Twitch every Wednesday and Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern. And you can also find new edited CEDH YouTube videos every single Saturday at noon Eastern.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And part two of our Ad Nauz Dream Team is a new guest here on the show, but definitely someone who is knowledgeable in the ways of Nauz. I'd like to introduce Hal from The Seeker CDH. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. Like I said, you said, my name is Hal. I am part of the Spell Seekers. We are a CDH conglomerate. We made content off and on, but we mainly are just really, really ecstatic stream guests, as Dan can attest. Also, I do have some secret stuff in the works on my own that's in very early development processes of getting that going, so keep an eye out on that.
All right, sounds good. And again, links for both of these fine guests will be included in the episode description if you're interested in checking out more of their stuff, and you really should do that. Honestly, by this point, hopefully you're checking out everybody's links that are in the episode description, because everyone on here is really awesome, and you should totally check their stuff out. Anywho, so again, just like I said a moment ago, today's episode is going to be the good news about Nauz. Again, Ad Nauseam is an extremely important card in the CDH meta, but if you're new to CDH and you don't really know what Ad Nauz does or what it can do, you can be left kind of confused about exactly why people put this card in their decks. And I think personally, I am kind of tired of hearing about an Ad Nauz deck, you know, out there amongst the different deck lists, game streams, and not really understanding exactly how it all fits in. So I'd like to present this challenge to both of you to get us started off here. Could you explain exactly what the card Ad Nauseam is and why it's so important in the current CDH meta?
Hal, do you want to start?
I can start.
Go right ahead.
So the thing about Ad Nauz, you have to preface this by understanding the way we deck build in CDH. CDH deck building is very streamlined, our win cons are very concise, our tutor packages are very dense, And in the colors black, we have access to a lot of rituals, our fast mana, our spell rituals, and other means to an end. And that's what Adnaz is. It's a means to the end. It's one of the best card advantage spells we can play in EDH, abusing the fact that we start at 40 life. And Adnaz is just a ridiculous card. You can main phase it, you can instep it, decks are built around it to abuse it, decks are built just to use it. It's just a card draw spell, and the equivalent, the casual idea of it, the best look at it, is just like, it's just a big pool from tomorrow that we use. We want to use it to accumulate as much card advantage as we can for the mana investment it is. And because of how low our mana curves are, I think they call it mana value now, we can draw 30 cards off for 5 mana, and that's absurd. It's not a win on the spot, but a means to get to the end. Mm. And that's the way I look at it.
I actually really liked your comparison of like trying to find the more casual EDH equivalent. And I was thinking maybe I think Expropriate is a really good equivalent of what Ad Nauseam is and does in that fashion of what you said of being a means to an end, where like you take a bunch of extra turns and you steal everyone's best permanents, like in some variation of those effects. But it is this one spell that you can cast and just immediately wins the game on the spot for the most part. Like Hal said, in black specifically, there are a lot of ritual effects, dark ritual being specifically what we're talking about, pay one black mana to add 3 black mana and different variations of that. And decks tend to build with lots of those layered sorts of ritual effects. And we're looking for those tutor packages that Hal was talking about and just trying to enact these quick combos. So it's a really versatile spell. You can find it in a lot of different kinds of decks with different kinds of win cons in them. But it is the same sort of draw engine and just win con in all these sorts of different decks, where it just it pulls all of the different pieces of your deck together by being able to just amass a huge quantity of cards and being able to put up a bigger offense than your opponents can put up a defense.
For sure. And again, I should have probably prefaced this with Ad Nauseam is an instant costing 3 black. And reads, reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. You lose life equal to its converted mana cost, or, as Hal mentioned, mana value nowadays. You may repeat this process any number of times. And this is really how you are getting the card draw. It will hurt you to be able to take cards off the top of your deck and put them into your hand. It's going to cost you big time, especially depending on how you build your deck. But again, Adnaz decks and CDH are specifically designed to work around Adnaz, so you're hopefully not killing yourself in the process when you try to Adnaz.
Something that's important to keep in mind is also the atmosphere in which you are using your life total in this fashion, where in a casual game, to cast a 5-mana spell, you might need to wait until turn 3 or 4 to be able to get that a little bit of extra rampant mana, and you might have started to take a lot of chip damage from little things, or maybe you just have less tutors in your deck and you're not finding these sorts of game-ending spells earlier on, and like later on in the game you're taking huge chunks of damage, like 10 apiece from big creatures and things like that. But the big creatures are not really a concern in CEDH, and especially when your deck is an Ad Nauseam deck and you're very specifically built to find Ad Nauseam or an equivalent Ad Nauseam effect by turn 1, 2, or 3. So you're trying to cast Ad Nauseam from a life total of like 36 to 40 if you're doing really good. So there's just a really huge breadth of cards that you're able to take in under that sort of high life total, because the average CMC of most Ad Nauseam decks is like somewhere between 1.2 and 1.3 on average. I tend to see somewhere a little bit lower and higher than that. I think maybe the Cody Vociferous Codex deck has an average CMC of like 0.99 or something ridiculous like that.
It is wild.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing, is that your average CMC is just so low to the ground that you're able to rip massive amounts of cards. And the things that you are pulling are not only, it's not only this huge amount of spells, but you're also pulling like the things that are like rituals. You have to think about them in the context of like them being advantage spells in multiple ways. It is a spell that you are using to create more advantage than your opponents have in the form of mana. And you just have tons of those effects in your whole deck. So you just keep combining all of these effects that continually build up more resources than your opponents can possibly have access to. And it's a really easy way to just close out games in a variety of different fashions.
Yeah. Adnaz is a wild card. And like Dan said, there's many ways you can Adnaz. And that's what we call it, Nazing. It's a fun thing. But there's lots of different decks that Nazz. There's main phase Nazz. You have so many varieties. It's just such a versatile card. It does everything. Instant speed? It's absurd.
It's very meta-defining in that way that it is so flexible and you can build so many ways with it. And, like, it doesn't matter what your strategy is, really. Like, you have to have, like, a fairly good reason a lot of the time to not want to run Ad Nauseam in your deck, because you're usually just naturally built in a way that is supporting it anyway, because you want to be able to consistently find your tutors and your win cons and have the rituals to be able to cast them all. So, like, it's usually, like, a pretty free roll for a slot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even decks like Gitrog Monster, which is not necessarily a main phase Nazz deck, but it uses a value Nazz, is what we call it, or an instep Nazz. It's playing two Eldrazi Titans that are over 10 CMC. If you hit those back-to-back, you're taking half your life total right there off two cards.
I've seen people do it, too. And, like, that's also just, like, yeah, hugely speaks to the flexibility of this spell, where, like, it doesn't need to draw you 30 cards. Sometimes it can just draw you 10 cards, like the way that people used to run it a few years ago, as I'm told. And it's still a really great spell.
That is what we did.
I was never a part of that. I only started playing during Flash Hulk era. But so, the first time I cast Ad Nauseam was the best day of my life. I had so much fun.
A little small history lesson. Just real small.
Oh, please,
so
go ahead.
During the American Flash Hulk days, before that, before Thassa's Oracle and all the Hulk powers condensed into one thing, which is another topic in itself.
For listeners unfamiliar with CDH, I think that's like 2017-ish era?
2020, 18? Well, they consolidated. Theros Beyond Death was into 2019 or 2018, one of those years. I don't know. COVID years. But Nazz has always been a thing. It just, some people overlooked it. Because there's the, I think it's the European CDH groups have always just been Nazz decks. From what I understand, for like that is a preferred playstyle over there. Even during the Flash Hulk meta, where we were all sitting here sandbagging our lives away, just waiting for someone else to pull triggers, they were just over there Nazzing, from what I understand. I didn't play with them a lot back then. But even pre, like, Hulk piles and all that, and, like, doing all that shenanigans, which was a little bit before my time, there was a lot of Nazz decks, too, because the other fast decks in the format were, like, Shimmer Zur and stuff like that. And that's a deck, if you're unfamiliar, that just wants to use Zur the Enchanter to put a Necropotence in play and then draw an obscene amount of cards and win it in a cleanup step, basically, with Shimmer Mirror Lines. But Nazz has always been around and prevalent in different ways or forms. And it feels like during COVID, it really took some strides towards optimization of the archetype itself and becoming more than just a really good card draw spell we play, and now is an archetype among itself in the mainstream.
Yeah, it feels like, I've definitely also heard that the European meta was just on average a lot more aggressive in those days, and from my limited experience playing with European people, it seems like they are on average very aggressive players.
All I know is Gustav complains a lot. But I love them.
Well, but it seems like the whole COVID thing, though, and just like the online meta now has sort of begun to be a little bit more of a conglomeration of those sorts
more,
of different ideas.
More people. When I was first playing CDH, it was your play group in your local area, and that's who you were playing with. So, like, my meta was just like Gitrogs and Shimmerzer, Yisons. I played some Azami, stuff like that, back when Paradox Legend and all that was legal. But you had your playgroup, and then there was only like two or three places to play online. Like, the Nexus was slowly becoming a thing, but at the time it was an invite-only server, if I remember correctly. And Spell Table wasn't a thing. I remember back then people used things like Werebee and other video conference websites.
Oh, I played Werebee games, oh yeah.
And, like, the access we got during COVID to play online Magic is wonderful for everybody.
Yeah.
And lot more people are being exposed to a lot more things. All these content creators have like Discords, they have play groups and other open play group Discords, and a lot more tournaments and things of those such. And now we're going into this phase of big tournaments, IRL, the Tier 1 cons, the Marchesas, the things of that sort. And like you're seeing these local play groups become more closely resemblant to the broader meta in a sense, with their own little twang.
Do you feel like that is making Nos lines like more just generally streamlined now? Or do you think you see like on average less like sort of cute cards in Nos decks and it's more just like hardcore streamlined lists?
In my decks, yes, but that's because me and Mikey don't like cute.
Yeah,
We
I mean
like
same. I feel like that's a lot of Nos players' mentality is that like cute is not in the spectrum of cards that we're trying to
wouldn't
play.
say that. Have you talked to Blue Farm players? They love their cute cards.
Well, Blue Farm is a different kind of list though, and that's actually a really good point. So Blue Farm, anyone for anyone who's not familiar with it, is a non-turbo variant of Ad Nauseam. Like turbo is the style that Hal and I have predominantly been talking about thus far. We're trying to very quickly speed things out. Blue Farm is Timna and Chrom, and it is a much more mid-range variant of Ad Nauseam that is like can still be Ad Nauseam by turn two or three, and like still has a lot of the very aggressive pieces that allow you to do so, but has more cute cards like things like Grim Hireling, and I've been testing Professional Facebreaker.
Are so cool.
I love Blue Farm because it allows you to play cute cards like that, and I do love
But
playing both Ad Nauseam and cute cards.
that's
But
because the commanders by themselves are just so
yes,
good.
that's the thing is Timna and Chrom are very, very fun. I think it comes to that point of like it's just kind of silly to not play Ad Nauseam in that deck where like you don't necessarily need it, and it's not the best. It's like certainly not as good as like in the Timna and Jessica deck that you and I both like to play a lot.
Oh.
But like, yeah, swoon. But it's just so good that it's like it's hard to justify not playing that spell because it'll win you a lot of games on turn three.
Yeah, most decks, you would need a strong argument, in my opinion, to not play Ad Nauseam. Even if you're playing a bunch of big creatures or big spells, like an instep draw six cards is still good when you're untapping with all your mana again.
And this is probably a good place to talk about that idea of like Ad Nauseam as a counter spell, because I was just thinking that like, and once you said instep Nos try to draw five, it's like, oh, you know, it's also a really good counter bait if you got something better in your hand.
Oh yeah. In the words, I don't want to. We haven't heard MJ in a while, so I don't know how y'all really. If MJ just sits here and listens, or how we do this, but.
Oh yeah, I'm just sitting here being impartial. I'm just interested in hearing everyone have a good
Okay,
conversation, so go ahead.
I just wanted to make sure before we
Yeah.
took all your airtime. In the words of the Mikey Holohan of the Miscast, check them out also. They're another podcast that talks about the ideas of CDH and some finer details, Hillman Drake, that some channels don't get into. It's a nice listen. They're on all your medias. I'm his secretary, so I have to shill for him.
I also highly recommend. They're really two intelligent people. I'm very worried they've worked with you
Drake
at the
has
same
the
time
60
as
card SCG grinder background, and Mikey's just a CDH player, so they can conflict a little bit. But in the words of my good friend Mikey, Ad Nauseam is the best counterspell in the format. And that has a little bit of a deeper meaning in
Ooh.
that it acts as both a bait spell, but when a game-winning spell is on the stack and people have ran out of interaction, Ad Nauseam will dig you, has a higher chance of resolving on your end because the other players feel they have to lean on you now for interaction because they have no chance of winning the game at that point if it's not stopped. And you usually accrue so much value plus interaction out of resolving the Ad Nauseam that if you get back to your turn, you untap and win.
It's truly a horrendous exchange when someone is like, okay, I have a response to this Underworld Breach on the stack or some other game-winning spell, but no one's gonna like what it is. It costs 5 mana.
I've been in a few of these games with both Ad Nauseam and Intuition, which is played a lot in the Ad Nauseam decks. Where I've been playing Quirk and people are not going to like what happens because that's a different Ad Nauseam in itself. That's a Sans Black Ad Nauseam deck right there. But It's just so good. Like, I've been playing with the card for how long have I been playing CDH? Let me look at a calendar. It is what, 2022?
Indeed.
I got in around the Paradox Engine days before that was banned, so that was like 2017. And it's just always been there. It's a we've like cards have moved out and in a favor of CDH as meta calls or playable cards since then, and a lot of things have phased out. And Adnaz just stood the test of time, and if anything, it's just gotten stronger with printings of cards like Underworld Breach and Thassa's Oracle that make win lines so much cleaner.
I was telling MJ last time about how just like Dockside Excursionist just completely takes away any of the like necessary math that can make Adnaz lines
Oh, yeah.
particularly difficult.
Dockside's a stupid card. It shouldn't exist, but we're going to play with it because that's what the format does. We play with the strong cards. And, like, most, especially these main phase Nos decks, they're just looking for the Dockside and two mana, and everything else is settled from there.
Yeah, that's the part of what makes it so attractive, is especially like in decks like Kess, where you're going full turbo ad nauseam mode. So you've got your Simian Spirit Guide. If you're unfamiliar, can exile it from your hand to add a red mana, and then you pay that into your Rite of Flame. That makes it's one red mana to add two red mana, and that's your Dockside Extortionist. And that's just like the rest of the game, because your opponents probably
That's
have six to
enough.
seven.
If you have
Yeah,
a
well,
Chain of
almost
Vapor
always.
in hand, it's even more. Because Dockside on average, what's it making in your games, Dan? Like on turn two, turn three.
On two or three, I don't know. If I'm going like gold fishing mode, I'm gonna do it conservatively, and I think Ken says his rule of thumb is that like no more than like two or three past like what turn it is, like two or
I
three plus
usually,
what
if
turn it
I'm
is.
gold fishing, it's usually like 4 to 5 on turn two to three.
Yeah, which is like pretty conservative, I think. Like more
Because,
on average, I think probably in reality it's closer to something like six to eight.
I feel as more Docksides get played throughout the game, more people stop caring and play their rocks out.
Yeah, I mean, the
So,
longer a
like,
game
that
goes, the
first
more people are
Dockside,
willing to do
yeah,
it.
that first Dockside hits, and people are like, all right, that person's Dockside's gone. And they feel more willing to play a two mana Signet or something in their hand. But it's a game warping spell just like Adnaz, and its prevalence in CDH is another thing that just makes these Adnaz decks so good. Because if you're making 5, 6 mana on turn two off a Dockside and have an Ad Nauseam in hand, if you make the 6 mana, you're playing a 5 mana spell on turn two with mana left over and the ability to make more mana after it.
Yeah, which I think is speaking to our first point of like, what are we looking for with Ad Nauseam, which is always mana is always going to be the bottleneck or the first bottleneck that we're reaching.
Very few times have I lost post resolving an Ad Nauseam because I didn't have the tutors or the way to win. It's the
Yeah.
mana, usually. Occasionally I've gotten unlucky and every one of my tutors have been in the bottom of the deck. And that just happens. Like, it's a high roll card for a reason.
Yeah, but I mean, like you were saying before, you play such a high density of tutors in such varied fashions, and like even to the point where like Imperial Recruiter is a very common creature that you'll find in CEDH deck lists, because it can find not only Dockside Excursionist but also lots of other game winning spells.
Imperial
So
Recruiter is the best creature in my Mad
it's
Farm list
fantastic.
because it hits everything.
It goes and gets your loyal retainers for going infinite with LED.
And you know, they just had to print Facebreaker as a 2-3. It's not
I
3-2.
keep forgetting it every time that it's not a 3-2. It should be a 3-2.
It's a 2-3. So Imprecrew gets it, like, it gets your
Yeah.
Docksides, your Grand Abolishers, your Dothys, all these things that are great with Ad Nauseam.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get
And
too
yeah.
far. I
But
know
like all
we.
of those tutors, just like they come in so many varied fashions that like it's the individual ways to start your mana production that can be the more challenging end of the spectrum.
I think in some decks it's expensive, but there's like Imprecrutors is a one card combo in like blue red decks. I don't remember my friends were working on some lines and some Izzet stuff yesterday, and
Well,
like it
Kirk and
works.
Sockets like really easy, right? You go get Spellseeker with it, Spellseeker gets Geist Wave, and then Geist Wave can get Twin Flame and other stuff that wins the game.
Yeah. There's a lot of good things going on with these decks, but I know we wanted to talk about different types of Adnaz decks. Would you want to talk about the ones you're most familiar with?
I am primarily a turbo player. Like, I'm less familiar, honestly, with the mid-range Ad Nauseam lists. I play Toxtril and I play Timnacrom, which just generally, like, the way that I think I pilot and view those decks differently is like, well, with Timnacrom, you don't really need to worry so much about advantage engines like Ad Nauseam being in your opening hand. When we talked about Kess MJ, I told you that, like, a key component of your opening hands needs to be a mixture of the mana production and then also a payoff. But like Timnacrom in your command zone is already access to payoffs in the form of just drawing cards anyway. So having an Ad Nauseam in your hand is sort of inconsequential, where you just want to be making mana and things like that. Where like I don't really care about Ad Nauseam personally in blue farm and mid-range Ad Nauseam lists for the most part. They're just sort of there and I'm okay with drawing them. I think in a certain way, maybe I'm thinking of them more as like a reward for being able to mulligan more
That's
aggressively
a
in those decks.
whole podcast episode in itself,
I know.
is mulligans. I feel that that's not even the other end of the Adnaz spectrum, because Timnacrom Blue Farm, it's still a good main phase Nauz deck.
Yeah, absolutely. You still got a lot of the really aggressive pieces to make it happen.
It's the decks I think of currently in the current meta that are the instep Nauz decks. The classic true to form, everyone tapped low on resources during this turn cycle. I'm gonna pop my Nauz here. I have the most interaction now to try to win on the next turn. Or things like Najila Tempo, which Pongo's been making it faster on that end lately. I don't really agree with it, but it's his deck. He can do what he wants. I have my own Najila list. It doesn't even play Nauz.
I'm also on a Nauz list, Najila, but I have noted that Deco just went back onto Nauz in his list, which is the other Najila list on the decklist database.
The mid-range Najila list.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. Please don't speak
I
ill of
just
him in my
don't.
name, Hal.
Huh?
I said, please don't speak ill of him in my face.
Oh no. I love that. My Najila list plays like Collector Roof and Stony Silence and Rest in Peace.
Yeah. But I mean, again, talking about the flexibility of Nauz, where it's just like, I don't know, do I play Ad Nauseam in
Do
this? Because,
I
you
cut
got all the
it
pieces
due
for it.
to the slots, cause in that
Yeah.
deck, because it's good to instep there just to get card value, but I don't have the densities of that we told said that makes Nauz good. The fast mana, my tutors are getting creatures that are like kind of expensive to cast, like my Derevi's and Nature's Wills and stuff,
Yeah.
and I want a density of interaction, flexible interaction, and I play incidental stacks pieces in my list that I want to draw into, but not always necessarily have to tutor. But most of the time, Nauz is just a dead card pre-turn three. So I don't
Yeah.
play in there. But the decks I think of when I think currently of instep Nauz decks are the Sandred decks, surprisingly enough. Your TNT decks that don't have access to the Dockside, the Jeskai's Wills, the Underworld Breach, that the things that are making Nauz just so able to do its own thing. A deck I'm looking at right now, which the mana curve's extremely low, I play Ad Nauseam in it. It's my Sidisi layered combo deck, which is Sidisi the Brood Tyrant. It's a Sultai deck. It's playing like Razaketh and Vilas and Doomsday and Hermit Druid. It's dope. It's not that good anymore in the current meta, but like the mana curve value of it is only 0.1% higher than my Turbo Adnaz Mad Farm deck. But if I
That's
try to
really wild.
resolve, but if I try to resolve a main phase Nauz in this, I would not win the game most of the time because of the way the deck is constructed.
Yeah, that's a really good point because the you're right on that axis of red mana is really where a lot of the more incidental fast mana production comes from. I mean, even outside of Dockside, you have like really low to the ground things like the Simian Spirit Guides, Rite of Flames, and things like that. Like you have an Elvish Spirit Guide in Sans Red, but the things that you can cast with a single green mana, like
It's
outside
a
of
dork.
Yeah, outside of like a crop rotation for like a Gaia's Cradle if you're already playing to the board, or an Ancient Tomb if you're not playing to the board, like there, it's just a lot more limited, the amount of things that you can do with the certain colors of mana. And going back to what you were saying about Najeela, like being able to transition into your win cons of like Derevi for three different colors, like there is no there. If you had Metamorphos, I guess you could be doing that, but like
I play that in one of my four color lists. I'll just say that
it's a great spell. I love Metamorphos. I'm not trying to knock Metamorphos at all, but like it would be odd to be playing that in your like Najeela ad nauseum list just to try to like proc on hitting Derevi mana. Like,
yeah,
you just have to like accept those losses sometimes.
You have to like look at the colors of your payoffs and then your production tools for said payoffs. So, in a Grixis Gnawz deck, your rituals lean in your fast mana production that takes barely any investment at all, lean into the black red color pie. The Rakdos of the world, and you look, and your payoffs are also in those colors. Your breaches, your Docksides, your tutors to get those other things. The colors you need to make are the colors you can produce lots of. When you change that to being sans red, where like you need to hit your rituals that need to make black mana for tutors post Gnawz, but then you need to be able to also convert into colored mana to cast your oracle for double blue plus a black. Or like in my Sadisi list, triple black off a Doomsday, and then still have a way to crack my pile with a Sadisi that's one black, green, blue. I'm not doing all that in a main phase without a Dockside.
No, and
access
like,
to Dockside in these colors.
Yeah, you have to like rely on someone else having a Dockside and you pulling the Phantasmal Image or something like that. I was actually just thinking about my Timna Ikra deck, which is a reanimator deck, has Vilas, has Razaketh. I ad nauseamed on my main phase from 69 life because I had a turn one Ser Ascendant, and I died to it. I had enough mana to cast a Yawgmoth's Will, and then I had no mana production outside of that, and then I flipped like some big beefy spell. Not a huge like average CMC spell, a deck again, like, you know, probably like a couple percentage or like fractions of percentage points higher than my ad nauseam decks. But yeah, there's a real difference in how you can approach that spell and how it can benefit you in different colors and different strategies.
Yeah, when you're playing like a TNT deck where you have access to two varied types of card advantage in the command zone via natural draws with Timna off attacks or the scry draw ability of Thrasios itself, and your win cons are usually more color intensive than Grixis color pie, because the Grixis win con, realistically post Gnawz, if you have all your win cons in hand, you need to make one red and a colorless mana to win the game. You need enough mana to cast the Underworld Breach and play out your Lion's Eye Diamond.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just like the things, like the ability to just evenly split up what you need colors of mana for and what your colors of mana are doing in a Grixis deck, where like red and black only make lots of mana or find good spells. And that's fantastic. And all your blue spells do are interact or win the game. And that's also fantastic. And it's really easy to just like, okay, I only need like three blue to be able to win this game, because I can just make a bunch of red and black mana very, very easily.
And that's why it's weird, like, the current place we're in. Another deck we didn't even talk about is probably the most prolific Turbo Gnawz deck right now, and that's Cody.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet, because it looks very, I'm not going to say lame to play, repetitive might be a better word that's nicer to people. And I don't know the exact text on it. I think it's tap it for 4 mana.
It is a mana ability. You pay 4 mana, tap it, add Wooburg, and the next time you cast a spell, it gains Cascade, instant or sorcery specifically. So it's not regular Cascade. It goes and gets an instant or sorcery that costs less. So basically the deck is comprised of only one drops, and it goes and gets a Profane Tutor, which gets ad nauseam, and it's the considered to be one of the most efficient decks to get ad nauseam. I do play Cody. I don't play Sick Robots list that is comprised of only one drops. I play like a slightly spicier version that is Transmute, Artifacting, Cody into Bolas's Citadel, because that is more fun to me. It's really, really fun.
it does one thing, and it does one thing well. That's Nahs, baby.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, is that, like, I'm a person who loves to cast the spell ad nauseum in its various forms, so I'm totally fine with playing Cody decks, but mine is like, not as much of just all-in-one drops to get it, but I'm sorry.
I'm looking on the database right now. I'm curious of its actual mana curve.
At one point, I remember it being 0.99.
It's on 40 instants. It's playing things like Emerald Charm and Sacrifice. Sacrifice seems really good in there. Suspend, things that... because you got to get rid of the Cody to play things after Nahs. The curve is 0.99.
It's very funny. Yeah, that's a deck that's really weird in the realm of Ad Nauseam, because, like, you don't really sculpt your hand around, like, trying to get Ad Nauseam, because the deck does that inherently. You're just trying to, like, make a bunch of mana to cast and activate Cody, and then also somehow remove Cody.
And there's a lot of ways to do that for one mana. We got a few more recently, right? Like, there's the one mana phase spell thingy. It makes it, like, lose abilities, and it's like,
oh yeah.
Plus Alchemist Retrieval,
mm-hmm.
things like that. There's one drops.
Dressdown, like, I think, also came down post Cody release, or maybe it didn't, but I don't know.
Dressdown was Modern Horizons 2, and they're not on it, at least in this list. But they, you got your Rite of Flames, your Strike It Rich, Imp Seal, Infernal Plunge, Void Snare, your Gambles, Alchemist Retrieval, the Veils, your Crop Rot, Burnt Offering.
At its core, like, built very much in the same way as those other decks that we were talking about earlier, which is, like, high densities of mana. But that deck really gets to work the advantage of not needing as many tutors to find what it's looking for, which is really sweet. Yeah.
It literally does it on its own. It makes mana, which we said is important for Ad Nauseam, and tutors, which we also said is important for these decks. And it does it all in one little book. It's a... I need a... altar of one, the how to for dummy book, like how to for dummy Ad Nauseam books.
I think you should play it. It's a really fun deck. I have a lot of fun with it. I haven't played it in a little bit, but it's always a good time.
I've been in a slump recently, and I'm trying to go back to my roots. I've been playing a lot of Sands Black decks, struggling on purpose, you know. But is there any other big things about Nauseam we haven't talked about? We talked a little bit about those mid-range Nahs decks, but there's more than just the Timnacroms of the world.
Yeah, sure. Like, I play, we were actually debating the other day in the Toxworld Discord, Cyrus and I are not very hot on Ad Nauseam in that list right now, because, there's some chunkier spells in it. It's a better Bolas of Citadel deck than it is an Ad Nauseam deck for the most part. It lines up a little bit weirdly, where that deck is super hungry for mana, but to cast your commander for the most part, where you're kind of devoting a lot of energy to casting your commander, where otherwise you would be devoting that energy and those resources to casting Ad Nauseam. So the deck is sort of naturally pulling you in those sort of two different directions. Mm-hmm. Bolas of Citadel is also mana intensive, but it can be a little bit easier to cheese into play with things like Transmute Artifact.
It also gets through more counter magic.
Yes, that's an important thing, is it gets through more counter magic, and also the deck is on Iso Scepter, so it's already on, like, artifact tutors like Whir of Invention anyway, mm-hmm. so...
And that's another thing we could talk about, is how the prevalence of Nahs affects interaction suites in CDH.
Yeah, Mindbreak Trap is the first thing that comes to mind for me. It is a 4-mana spell.
You know, the first thing that comes to my mind...
What's that?
Dispel.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Dispel or not?
I think in the current meta, I would not leave home without a Dispel.
Mm.
It's one blue mana, for people that don't know. Counter target instant. Extremely narrow. You know what's an instant? Ad Nauseam.
Yeah, I guess that if we if we think of the other spells that are, like, really prevalent instants that you might point a Dispel at, like, the best ulterior target is, like, a Tainted Pact outside of the obvious, like, opposing counter magic. Like, I think greedy decks, like greedy Grixis decks, if Ad Nauseam, like, suddenly didn't exist one day for some reason, they probably still play Dispel just as, like, another hard counter in the one mana suite to fend things off. But yeah, like next in line is probably like Tainted Pact and Demonic Consultation. But yeah, like, it is a lot
like,
more slim.
Most tutors are sorcerer speed that we play. Even like the best ones are instant speed, but the two hand ones for the most part are sorcery speed. You're usually not countering those. You usually wait to see what happens. Dispel doesn't hit Breach. It doesn't hit Oracle itself if they do a reverse Oracle. It doesn't hit Hermit Druids. It doesn't hit the Dread Returns post Hermit Druid. Doesn't hit Dockside. Like this card is played as protection and to stop Ad Nauseas.
Yeah, it does get to like fill that aggressive role because of Ad Nauseam existing for sure. I definitely agree with that.
And if you like, let me look at like most of my decks, like their interaction suite, is designed to fight Ad Nauseam decks for the most part. So let me look at a not greedy deck's interaction suite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at my dispels, my Fluster Storms, my Forces. Miscast.
Yeah, I was thinking about Miscast as well as another offender of just like that, and I guess looking out for like really aggressive wheels and board wipes if you hear about them. But
yeah, I think the best one to look at is my Najeela list, which is designed to fight Nauseam decks. My computer doesn't want to type. There we go. Cherry Blossom. Because like I said, I'm on the Collector Roofs, the Stony Silences, the Rest in Pieces, the Deafening Silences, the Fight Nauseam decks. And I'm running Spell Pierce. I'm not even on Dispel in this deck anymore. I chose to play hard counters like Delay and Mana Drain. I should probably retool this interaction suite a little bit.
I mean, the heart counters are becoming a little bit more important for people trying to sneak through the creature spells because of...
Them dirty glint horns.
It's because of how strong Ad Nauseam is, though. It's because, like, people are like, sort of pigeonholed into running these things that counter instants, and they're like, okay, well, I'm going to start playing creature combos because you can't counter them because you're only prepared
and
for
And then we get into this phase, so, like, of transitioning, where the deck weaves and turns and goes different directions. And, like, that's how you know... The card Ad Nauseam is such an important deal in CDH because it defines what people play. And a card in a format that defines what people play means that it's probably doing more than just sitting there in the deck. When people sit down at a table and they see a Roger... What's his name?
Silas.
Yeah. Roger Blue Black Guy, a Cody deck, the Ikra Roger decks, those are becoming a little bit more prevalent. These decks are all in on jamming a Nauseam.
You know what's funny is that, like, there's the huge emphasis of, like, if anyone has a creature on board and if you're unaware, like, you'll ask the whole table, like, is this person on a Nauseam deck? Do I need to punch them? Because, like, I'll get in for that 2 damage if we're worried about them casting Ad Nauseam on turn 2, because that 2 damage is going to count.
Oh, it will. That's if we look at our curves that are like 1.1.
It's a Tainted Pact or a Thassa's Oracle.
Well, if our mana values are 1.1 on average or 1.2, that's almost 2 cards worth of value for 2 points of damage. That's 2 cards less they're drawing off an Ad Nauseam.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the way math works. I'm from Alabama, so don't quote me.
I'm also bad at math, so I was fully on board to believe you. Someone who's better at math is going to be in the comment, I'm sure, and be like, they're both totally wrong, but...
But, like, it's such a wild card. I love the card. It's comforting knowing that this card's been here the whole time I've been playing CDH.
I've seen Paradox
Engine. I've seen Paradox Engine go. I've seen Flash go. I've seen the 2 weeks of the medium green, quote-unquote, mid-range meta go. And Ad Nauseam, it's just been here, baby. It's here holding my hand. It's like that uncle when I show up that just tells me all the crazy stories and wears a full matching jumpsuit with some neon green Adidas.
You know, it's almost like an unspoken companion for your deck, you know? Like, it's its own built-in deck building restrictions. Like, you are allowed to play Razaketh and some other wacky shit if you want to in your Ad Nauseam deck, but for, like, for the most part, if Ad Nauseam isn't your deck is built to cast Ad Nauseam.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice. I'm looking at my current favorite Grixis pile to play, which is Grixis Pirates. I've played it a few events, top 16 to playing with Power Tournament with it, and I've changed it to more of a mid-rangier, grindier Ad-Nauseam deck, but the other day I was like, I wonder if, like, even with these Wandering Archaics and Niv-Mizzets in here, if I can still just jam a turn 2 Nos. And you know what? It still jams turn 2 Nos, baby. And it's wild when you start playing a Nos deck. I don't know if you've done this yet, Dan. A Nos deck that wins with a creature-based combo out of the command zone?
No.
Bro, people don't know what kind of interaction to keep.
Yeah, that diversity is actually really, really hot. I love that
a lot. Like, the first game we played in this little session, I went turn one, land, turn two, land, Dockside, Ad Nos. I went off a turn two, main phase Nos. The next game, I went land Jeweled Lotus Malcolm, land Lotus Petal Glinthorn.
And then that's it.
That's it. Like, they don't know to keep the instant, like the non-creature interaction, the creature interaction. I think this is where the Nos decks will eventually end up. It's things like this, as we get them pushing these legendary creatures to be certain things, and more cards get printed and more A plus Bs happen. That's why Najeela is so good, and it has been for years, regardless of what the meta is doing. It's a 5-color deck that has an A plus B in the command zone that gets to play the best cards. That's why all these Malcolm decks are good. Even the Malcolm deck that doesn't play the A plus B in the command zone with the Esper Malcolm. Because it's an Ad Nauseam deck, one of those mid-range Ad Nauseam that stands red, so it's harder to win post-Nauseam. But not really, because Malcolm makes treasure, and Timna draws cards. And when we first started, we said those are the two most important components to winning a game of CDH. And that's why Ad Nauseam is a 5-mana package that does it all by itself. At instant speed, as a means to an end, is absurd.
Yeah, it's just basically like 5 mana to put half of your deck in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy, crazy card. And I want to thank both of you guys for taking the time to talk this out. It's been really interesting hearing all this theory, talking just about all the different kinds of decks. I've definitely learned a lot, and I hope the listeners out there have learned a lot too.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us on. I mean, yes, I love talking to Hal, so I'm going to do it all day. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No.
One day Dan will invite me back. I stopped playing Kark for a little bit. Here's the time, Dan.
I play Krark now. It's so
worse. Oh no! Worst. You became what you hate.
No, I love Krark. It's just a pain in the butt to edit.
Yeah, so that's. Oh god, my chair almost fell. I warned y'all.
Oh man.
No, we got there. We made it.
All right. Well, Dan, again, where can people find you and Mod and Non MTG's content on the internet?
Yes, I am Dan, a.k.a. Stormy Daniel, Moderately Anonymous, MTG. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram if you so choose. I am on Twitch every Wednesday and Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And I'm also putting out new YouTube videos every Saturday at noon Eastern. If you enjoyed me here on the show, come chat with me on Twitter. Join my Patreon for $2 a month, and you can come hang out with me in my private Discord. We jam games in there all the time. We do deck building and theory and all this kind of fun stuff. So. Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, MJ. This is a great time.
No problem. And Hal, for you, where can the listeners again find the Spellseekers on the internet?
You can find the Spellseekers at YouTube. You're going to find videos from months ago because we've all been living life and haven't had a chance to get together and do stuff. At the Spellseekers on YouTube, just type that out. It's all three words, the Spellseekers. You'll find us. You can find us on Twitter at TheSeekersCDH. You can find me at Twitter for all the Magic CDH / fighting game goodness, because I also do that on the side as a tournament organizer for fighting games and Smash Brothers, at Helenium gaming, all one word. Also, like I said at the beginning, there's a thing I'm in the very early development stages of working on solo, and more information about that will be coming out, and probably I'd say that within the next month if I'm not lazy. And if you enjoy, I'll just say, if you enjoy analytical stuff and asking questions, it might be up your alley in regards to Magic the Gathering.
Ooh, tempting, tempting. So yeah, everyone out there, definitely check out what Hal has brewing up behind the scenes. Hopefully you'll find, we'll find out here real soon.
Probably not. I came up with it yesterday.
Hey, that's totally fine.
But I thank you for having me, MJ. It was really nice. Like Dan said, I just enjoy talking to people, especially like-minded friends. And maybe next time when me and Dan go to Korean barbecue, you can come.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, and if you're interested in hearing any of the previous CDH episodes I've had on this channel, including Dan's Deck Tech on Chaos Dissonant Mage, Turbo Nas, you can find those and the entire MTG and Quarantine back catalog on the usual podcast outlets. That is your Googles, Apple's, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Podcast Addict, MTG Cast, and a million others. I always forget what the rest of them are, but if it's a major podcast outlet, odds are you can find me on there. You can also find me on the Bird site. That is your Twitter at MTG in Quarantine. You find the happy looking Ulamog wearing a pair of headphones. You found the right place. Again, I'd like to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who have supported me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So another huge thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S, Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, and Geek Beardly for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And make sure, now that you've reached the end of this episode, to go find your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming. That's I-N-K-E-D, gaming.com. Currently have two awesome versions of the playmat, so go check that out and support the channel. Use my affiliate link. Everything supports and helps the channel, and I appreciate it a lot. And again, you can find that over at Inked Gaming. That's I-N-K-E-D, gaming.com, and in the link tree for this episode. And I hope you very much enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.